come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, the Solution, and joining me today is DJ. How are you, DJ?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm very good. And with me is the Sweeper Man.
G'day, lads. How are ya?
So, some of you will recognise these voices, some of you won't. This is the 10-year anniversary podcast. So, pat ourselves on the back. We started this in 2013. I've already said to these guys, and I'll just warn the listeners, if this podcast goes for 10 minutes, it's because I've had to go sick with the editing. Because I try to tell these guys it's not 2013 anymore. There's political correctness.
And, oh, what?
Yeah, exactly. And I think we can still swear, still say the word cunt, etc.
Oh, thank but, God.
Yeah. But how you guys been? Firstly, Sweeper, Sexy Scissors franchise.
Going
How's
good?
It going?
Yeah, it's good. We've opened another couple of stores. I don't want to delve too much into it, but it's going really well. Actually, just looking at DJ's beard, he could probably do with a visit to Sexy Scissors. Yeah, yeah. But no, going really well, thanks. I'm actually kind of nervous about tonight, to be honest. Last time I did a podcast, and probably every podcast we've done, Essendon hasn't been in a great place, so I'm not really sure what we're going to talk about tonight, to be fair.
Very good question. I think I'll find some topics. Now, DJ, last time I spoke to you, you were going up and down in your junk on the Mekong River, maybe moving questionable goods and contraband.
True.
What's happening? Where are you living? Like, you were hard to track down.
Yeah. No, I'm all right. I get cancelled every other week these days for saying things that are inappropriate.
Just from the family?
Offensive. Yeah, from my daughters, basically. But, yeah. All good, mate. Going well. Actually, I feel like the Sweep and I feel like imagine Harold Bishop from Neighbours. You know, we've been dead for 10 years and then we've come back as ghosts.
Yeah. You probably look as good as those guys did.
That's true.
So, just for the listeners, DJ's kind of morphed into Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince.
Oh, what? So I didn't look like him 10 years ago?
Well, you didn't have the big grey beard. And Sweeper, you still look like the little feral kid from Mad Max 2. But anyway, now, timing's an amazing thing because I'm going to, so 10-year anniversary, we're going to talk Douche of the Decade. This is your patch, DJ. DJ's Douche of the Decade. DJ's Deity of the Decade.
Yeah.
Sweeper, you're going to do a Herd of the Decade and a Hanneman of the Decade. We might do a list review because it's been a while. However, I want to start with something topical, if that's cool. And so it's perfect you guys are on, because talking about political correctness and the world going mad.
Senator Van Lydia Thorpe.
Desperate times, DJ.
No?
Speaking of super footy, you ready? Super footy.
Okay.
The club is assessing, the club being Essendon, is assessing whether its fan base considers the wartime aircraft image offensive, reports Clarkie Herald Sun. So I can only assume this article's come from the club, because there's no reason the journo would hunt around and make something like this up. I find the logo offensive in some ways. It doesn't look like a bomber. I don't know what it looks like, the latest version. I like the old, like, mid-80s sort of plane on the side with a little, just the logo in the background. But
yeah,
what the fuck is going on? This is made for this anniversary podcast, isn't it? What a ridiculous notion. DJ, I want to start with you. What is your comment? Or do you agree? Should we change the logo?
No, I don't think we should change the logo. I don't find it offensive. Is it seriously because that they find the connection to the wartime offensive?
Presumably.
Yeah. No, I personally don't find it offensive. But having said that, like I said before, I get cancelled every other week, so maybe I'm not the barometer.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm probably the wrong person to ask. Is it because that we don't know whether the planes are they or a them or a he or a that, her, she?
Well, maybe the plane doesn't want to identify it as a plane.
That could be the problem too.
Maybe it doesn't want to identify as a bomber.
Maybe it needs more bombs.
So,
that's true. Well, what I was thinking though is, in all seriousness, it's not uncommon for brands or companies to look at rebranding from time to time. I guess the question is though, what drives that? So is it because our fans don't feel an affiliation with it or aren't drawn to that particular logo? Can I pause on that?
No fan gives a shit, let's be honest. There's not a single fan out there that thinks, you know what, I'm not going to let my kids go for Essendon because it's a bomber and that's a machine of war.
Yeah, true.
Is this got anything to do with Ben Robert Smith? I'm just trying to keep up here. Like, I just don't see the need to change anything. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, what about the power? Doesn't power cause climate change?
Correct.
Because of emissions?
Well, not if it's renewable or nuclear.
So maybe they should become the renewables?
Potentially.
Should we become the wind farmers?
That would be awesome. The windy or wind farmers. Well, I think, yeah, that's a good point.
There you go. This has just turned into a rebrand marketing meeting. Let's all lean in. Let's be agile. We can do this. Yeah. Sort of marketing speak.
So, Solution, tell me, so where did you hear about this and how's it come to be?
It's just Superfooty on Twitter. Tweeted it an hour ago, literally. And my response was, oh, fuck off.
That probably sums it up, I would have thought. Straight to the point.
Yeah, I mean. Wow. Oh, hang on. I have just been, somebody's come back and said, where have you all been the last 10 years? Look what's happened. Washington Bullets have become the Wizards. The Hornets have become the Pelicans. Redskins has become the Washington Football Team. Redskins, fair enough.
Yeah,
I'll pay that. Cleveland Indians, the Guardians. We are the Bombers. We're synonymous with the Essendon Airport. That's the whole history behind it. And a plane. We're not going to be the Essendon plane, so a bomber is kind of menacing. But anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, yeah. So that's the title of the history. Yeah, I get that. I don't think we need to rebrand personally. I'm not offended by it. And I appreciate our history. Having said that, it'll be, you know, a decision for those much smarter than you and I.
I think the last thing we need is to be the laughing stock of the league again. Carlton have finally taken that mantle back. Yes. There's no need to go and cause a stir by rebranding to, you know, the Essendon, whatever they might be. So let's just leave it as is, I reckon.
All right.
Solution, I was going to ask you something. So you spoke about Twitter and Superfooty and you responding. Before today's podcast, I did a bit of research and I see that you still spend every minute of every Essendon game tweeting like a motherfucker. Do you actually watch any football that Essendon play? And do you know whether we play well, who kicks goals, without sort of, you know, reading the stats after the game, etc.?
It's probably a fair question. I found this year a little bit challenging, I'll be honest, because the previous 9 years of the podcast, most of the 9 years, Essendon was so shit. I found it quite cathartic. And so you're right, I still do tweet during the game.
Relentlessly.
So I don't think it's quite that bad. But Essendon being good has kind of shifted the paradigm. And it's a nice segue, DJ, unless you want to have a further go at me for whatever reason.
No, I think you've got to watch your team play, mate. Get your face out of your phone. And on that point, it's not even, you haven't even got an iPhone. It's a fucking Android. Get your face out of your Android.
Mate, I'm very quick. I'm very good with my fingers.
Okay, well,
that's what she said.
That's right. These musicians' hands. But what I want to ask you guys before we get into 10 years, as I said, we're going to do the awards of the decade. Also going to talk about our favourite Winsock moment in the last 10 years. I'm telling you, in the top five, there's got to be Sweep, You and I Drunk Anzac Day, doing a tweet at the ground.
mini pod.
Yeah, mini pod. I still get people mentioning that to me on occasion. But how are you feeling about the club and the direction? Let's be honest. We didn't get Brad Scott through good management. We fucking just fell into it. And you look at the shenanigans pre-season, not to mention our CEO that lasted a day going after Clarkson. So a lot of good luck. But I'm feeling as good as I have in the last 10 years. What do you blokes think, Sweep?
Yeah, from the get-go, I wasn't sure, and I'm probably not the only Bombers fan, to be honest, but I wasn't sure that Brad Scott was the right guy for us. Like, if I'm thinking about the last 10 years in particular, and, you know, we had this need to go for an experienced coach, and we had a premiership coach in John Worsfold who was fucking horrible. Let's call a spade a spade. Why would we replace him with someone that had only ever taken a list to a prelim final? Was probably where I started. And then that coupled with, you know, all the board issues and the CEO issues. At the end of last year, I was probably back where we were at the start of the supplement scandal, to be honest. I was just a bit disenfranchised. But the way that Brad Scott's, you know, he presents in his press conferences and coaches, he's actually got a game plan. He won me after round one, to be honest. And like you, this is as good as I've felt about an Essendon side in 10 years. I don't think he's put a foot wrong. I mean, I was there on Anzac Day. A couple of injuries didn't go our way, like Laverde going down. We probably could have beaten Collingwood. We could have beaten Port if, you know, Ridley hadn't been knocked out by an errant elbow. We could well and truly be in the top four. But things haven't quite worked out like that. And we've still got a power work ahead of us to get into the mix for September. But, mate, all positivity from me for the Bombers at the moment, to be honest.
What about you, DJ?
You know, exactly that. The last few years became a really hard watch. And it wasn't just Essendon. I think the way the game's gone, the way the game's being administered, the way the game's being umpired, it's just become harder and harder to watch. So the fact that we're having a bit of success as a club on the field, and things look to be going right off the field as well, it's just making things a bit more enjoyable. That's not to say that the AFL or the game itself isn't being administered any better than it was 2 or 3 years ago, because I don't think it is. But certainly to sit down for a couple of hours on a Saturday or Sunday or a Thursday or a Friday even and watch the Bombers, it's a bit of hope there now, and you actually look forward to it. Whereas, you know, I remember towards the end of last year, the year before, it was, you look at the fixture and think, shit, can I have something on that conflicts with this game so I've got an excuse to not watch it?
I've got to iron my jocks on that occasion. Unfortunately, yeah. can't do that. I've got to say, I came into this year with no expectations, and all I really wanted to get out of the year was watching young kids like Nick Martin have a crack, and couldn't be happy with some of the progress that those sort of guys have had on the team, to the point where I don't know where Dylan Scheel fits, you know. When he's fit, how do you squeeze Darcy Parrish back into that side? He's an All-Australian. They're just great to watch, and the way they go about it, particularly that third quarter against Carlton, which was great for so many reasons, but the way they did it was just awesome. They're just good to watch, mate. And yeah, I hope it continues for many years to come.
I agree. Do you – so a debate that still goes around in Essendon circles is Dodoro. And he's been there an eon. He's still got his mullet, basically, from back when he started. That's how long he's been there. When you look at guys like Nick Martin, Peter Wright, like he wasn't the flavour of the month when we got him. So many guys we brought in, like in and around the periphery or guys whose careers may be stalling. Then you got the draftees, and by all reports, young Satsis, or however you say it, is a gun. He's already teared it up in the VFL. Don't we have to give him credit for the list he's assembled?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, as soon as you string three or four wins together or there's a good patch of form, you kind of forget about it. But as soon as you start losing, you start looking for excuses. And, you know, because of his history there and his longevity there, he cops it, rightly or wrongly. What I will say, and, you know, Swoop, you can come back to Dodoro specifically if you want, but what I will say is that, for me, part of the big turnaround we're seeing with, you know, in this current season is the clean out at the senior executive level and board level. Barham's come in, taken over, got a new CEO in place, got rid of Xavier Campbell, been changes in the football operations area, and all of that, you know, combined with Scott coming on board, I think has turned the ship around somewhat. The one piece of the puzzle that is still there and that has remained sort of unchanged is Dodoro.
Yeah.
And I wonder what would happen whether if there was movement in that area.
I don't know. I think a lot of my stance on Dodoro will come down to where we finish this year. And, you know, again, at the end of last year, he was one of the first I would have sacked, to be honest, like 20 years of mediocrity. We haven't won a final in that time. You know, a lot of that has to come down to the list that he's assembled over those 20-year period, surely. Like, it's not all on the coaches that we've sacked along the way. Mind you, we might have found a winning combo with a list that potentially can play footy and a coach that can coach. So maybe that might save him. Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, some of the moves that Brad Scott's made, like even just the little ones, like in that last game, you know, Zach Merritt going forward. When would Truck have ever done that, or John Worsfold? You know, like,
never.
Correct. How good is it?
Yeah.
No, his use of length has been great as well.
Yeah, 100%.
And we've got players coming back. That's the thing. Like, Peter Wright just played his first game. 5 goals, bang. You mentioned Parrish, Scheel. He's got to work his...
Centerfield,
yeah, forgotten man. So
what's your view, Solution?
I'm feeling very bullish. But again, this is...
On Dodoro specifically.
Oh, Dodoro. I was starting to waver last year. I give him a pass for the first period of time when Sheedy was coach. Because Sheedy apparently used to meddle.
That doesn't sound like Sheeds.
I know, right? God, that whole board, that's one guy that needs to go from the board, and I love him. But that whole debacle about James Hurd when Brad Scott was appointed, anyway, we won't go there. But no, I think my other concern about Dodoro is he really assembling a list? Do we have too many 6 foot, 5 foot 11, not that quick midfielders running around?
Yeah, we've got a few posts to fill down back as well, I'd argue. Like, Sirk Thatcher gets manhandled every week still. It'd be nice to have a monster down there. Wiedemann's probably not quite, I know this is going to be controversial with some of your listeners' Solution, but he's probably not owned that, you know, that key forward role that he had a real opportunity. Like, he didn't have that opportunity at Melbourne to play that, to be that beast. And he was really only competing with Kyle Langford, and he hasn't really filled his boots, so to speak. So there's a couple of spots that we need to fill, you know, moving forward as we progress towards that premiership window. But, see what happens.
Well, sorry, DJ, were you going to say something?
No, I was going to ask that. So you say he didn't have the opportunity in Melbourne, but he wasn't competing against much. I mean, early doors, he was competing against Ben Brown, wasn't he?
Ben Brown and Tom McDonald. Not a lot there though. Bailey Fridge probably kept him out. Like, he's a he's not a big body forward by any stretch, but I'd be keen to, I don't know how you do it this year, but I'd be keen to have a look at some of the young forwards that we've got in the twos, like Paddy Voss tore it up early in the VFL. Can he play? Let's, you know, he's been, this is his second year on the list. Can he play at the top level? This young Hunter kicked four last week in the VFL. Can he potentially come in and put some pressure on Wiedemann?
So you're a WA boy sweeper originally. What's your mail on Hunter?
Oh, first any? I heard of him was when he got drafted. So, not an avid waffle follower, to be fair, Solution. But I did catch a bit of the VFL game on Channel 7 there last week, and he looked all right. Presents well, can take a good mark, can kick. Unlike
got a bit of swag about him too.
Yeah, well, nothing wrong with that as a big key forward.
Well, do we should we do a list review?
We still go by the same rating criteria on the
top. Yeah. And the good thing is I don't need to explain to you blokes about the racy parlance. I mean, DJ, you are a degenerate, as am I.
True.
So, and we'll just focus on the main players. Andy McGrath, DJ, you start.
Oh, love McGrath.
Group one?
Definite group one. You save guys like him for the spring. Captain, future captain. Yep. What's not to love about the boy?
Would you have said that this time last year?
I've always rated him, and yeah, he'll have ups and downs. And I know he's got a lot of people that shit can him for his disposal from time to time, but he's a player worth investing in, and we have. And there'll be a time where he pays us handsomely.
Now, if there was an Essendon footballer that reminded me of you, Sweeper, it'd be this man, Sammy Draper.
Oh, definitely. The mullets, the same hairdo.
Correct. Bit rough around the edges.
Very rough around the edges. I love the way Big Sammy goes about it. I reckon he's City trending towards Group 1.
Yeah, I think he's Group, might be Group 3.
Yeah, I really like what he does. He's obviously been carrying something of late. He hasn't been as effective, but the way he can just almost, you know, get his own clearance and go forward and kick his own goal, like especially in that game against the Suns last year, how good is that?
Yeah, I agree. It's the thing with me for him, to elevate him to group status, he's just got to do it a little bit more consistently against the big guns.
He's only
perfect example there is that him and Flipper had a ripper game against the D's and then went into Anzac Day and both of them did.
Went missing. Against no ruckman.
Yeah, exactly.
Darcy Parrish, DJ?
Group. Definitely a group. A group horse. His growth in the last 3 years has been phenomenal. Yeah, I know Sweepy said before, where does he fit into that midfield? Now he comes back, but there's always a place for a guy like him.
On Parrish, if he decides that he doesn't want to, or his future isn't at Essendon, would you guys be sad about that?
It depends what we got in return, and the way things are going at the moment, you'd have to think his value's up there.
Yeah.
From a compensation perspective, probably not if we got something valuable for him.
That coupled with the fact that we've seen a bit from Ben Hobbs and Caldwell and Perkins, and Nick Martin, I don't think it's the end of the world if he does leave this year. You never want to see a group horse just leave the stable. We'll get to him later, but I'd be far more worried if we lost Redman in the off season.
Also, define sad. What do you mean by would we be sad?
Oh, I mean,
opposite of happy.
Yeah.
I'll be disappointed. I'm not going to cry. I wouldn't cry necessarily.
Are you sure?
Maybe. Well, we better move quick. Langford, we all agree on this. Sweep.
Yeah, I think he's a city horse. Potentially could be a group horse eventually, but this is sort of the first year he's had a really good run at it. So let's just see what he puts together by the end of the year. But he's kicked 20-odd, 30-odd goals this year. He's been phenomenal.
He's working through the grades really well.
Yeah.
And he's versatile. Like he can be on pace, DJ. He can be out the back.
Various sit midfield.
Correct. He'd go around the Sydney way as well. We'll just ignore the draftees. Caldwell.
City.
City, yeah, I think there's no argument there.
Probably, well, yeah. I would have said country last year.
Yep. He's midweek. He's midweek City.
Yeah.
Zach Merritt, DJ.
Yeah, group. Yeah. Get to Zach. I'm going to talk more about Zach a little later, but yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Superstar. Yeah.
Excellent. Ben Hobbs, sweep.
City, trending towards group, based on what I've seen the last few weeks in particular.
I think he's a three-year-old group company, but he's, yeah, very, very he's good.
Massive size for a three-year-old as well. Big body.
Mm. That's what we like.
Yeah, he's only 183 centimetres, but he's...
He plays bigger than that.
Yeah. I reckon he's got shades of Selwood, and not just his ability to draw a free kick either.
He's hard at it. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really hard. Bill and Shield.
Country for me.
Country? Yeah, he's had a great start to the year before he was injured.
I'd like to know what his career kicking efficiency is.
I'm with Sweep there, but equally, he's going to win the Melbourne Cup one day. He's like Prince of Penzance. He'll win it at $99. Yeah. He'll get a start in a group race and come in and just, pay $100.
I thought he's just gone to Peter Weir's. Darren Weir. Darren Weir over Peter Weir. I've done this again. I did this fucking 10 years ago. He's gone to Darren Weir. He's just on the jiggers.
He's getting jigged.
He's been shit, and now suddenly he's getting the electrodes on the nipples, and he's
firing. There you go. Yeah.
Do male horses have nipples, by the way?
No.
Do we know? No?
No.
Well, DJ knows his animal husbandry. Yeah, well, we don't need them either.
That's true.
All right. Sammy Wiedemann.
City. No, country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite ready for the knackery just yet, but
I reckon we need to see a little. I've been a fan of him. I was kind of happy when we got him.
Same.
But and he started off okay, but I'm just not sure that he's going to deliver much more. So I'm thinking he's very close to the knackery, or we send him out to do a venting somewhere.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of built like Tarzan, plays like someone that identifies as Jane about him.
He's lost all confidence he had early in the year, though. Like he was drilling them. His kicking looked beautiful. And I think he had a set shot against Carlton that barely made the distance from 30 out. Might be time for running the twos.
But that's what Melbourne fans say about him as well. They're just really flaky. Up and down like a yo-yo.
Peter Wright was like that. Like maybe he can work through it.
And I think the test for me will be, how does he, without the real heat on him with Peter Wright there, can he just use that little bit of freedom to be a bit more effective? That's what I'm hoping anyway. Mm. That's my glass half full approach. Nick Cox.
Controversially, I'm going to say country. I saw enough in the first couple of games. He played like 2 or 3 years ago, but he hasn't been on the park. And I think he might have played a couple last year. He was nowhere near it last year. Whether that's because Truck played him on the wing and he's not a winger, I don't know. Need to see a bit more of him before I rate him any higher than that.
Yeah, he's been in the spelling paddock for a while. He'll be one of those horses that when he comes back, be market only guide, really.
Does he need to be gelded?
He did show. And I don't think we need to do that to him.
That would fuck the father and sons up if he's
it really would. It really would. But, he's had a long time off, so it'll be interesting to see how he comes back.
All reports, there's another player we'll talk about in a second that might need to be gelded. Ridley. Jordan
Great.
Ridley.
Group horse.
Yeah, class.
Spot on.
Enough said, Laverde.
City. He's more important to our structure than you'd think.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going City there.
I don't agree. I reckon he's country. I reckon he was better last year. This year he's country anyway. Archie Perkins, 21 years of age.
Mate, this kid is like Giga Kick. He's a superstar.
Agree.
Love him.
Group one at the age of, well, you say he's 21.
Yep.
Yeah, if he's not already a superstar, he's, you know, knocking on the door of being one.
He's class, the closest thing.
Composure, poise.
Yep.
Everything.
I still reckon there's a bit of Dusty Martin about his future.
I was going to say that. Just without the outlaw haircut. Bangs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, agree. He's going to be a star. I think we can pack out the truck for this one. First one, James Stewart.
Knackery. Should have been knackered a long time ago.
Agree.
Yeah.
Nick Hind.
Knackery.
Yeah.
The truck's still there.
It's just there.
I agree entirely. He's actually been okay the last couple of weeks. It hasn't been putrid. Now, he's a guy who I reckon was on the truck, boxer, animal farm, the pigs have sent him off, Dyson Heppel, and he's just, the truck's turned around.
Did you just get Peter Wright? If we're
you're cheating. You're cheating, by the way. Oh. Yeah, you're right. I did skip Peter Wright.
Group. But he was on the truck too. So similar to Dyson, he was on the truck.
Yeah, group for Peter.
Group. Sorry, Hep.
I think he's still a city horse. His first couple of games this year, you know, they're a big country, to be fair, and trending towards the knackery. I think he's turned it around. I reckon he's been handy.
Yeah, he's one of those city horses that that's had 150 starts and its last win was 70 starts ago, but he started to run placings.
I reckon he's found the jump circuit. That's what I reckon. He's going down to Castleton and Warrnambool and Rick McIntosh has called him for a couple of winners.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I reckon full credit to the man. Because not only is he getting the ball, he's disposing of it well, he's composed, he's been important. I never thought I'd see it.
He's had a couple of moments in, like, really key moments, particularly against Richmond, that spring to mind that, yeah, we've needed his experience, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Great. Sammy Durham.
Somewhere between country and city. I'll probably go city. He's been handy.
I'm saying country, but showing glimpses of being able to progress through the grades nicely.
Yeah, 21.
But for now, I want to see him do more at Warrnambool and at Kyneton, and before he holds down a permanent place at Flemington, Caulfield.
Here's the guy who I was referring to that I have heard rumours, and all they are just rumours, that maybe Gelding here might help him keep his mind in the mountain yard on the job at hand and not at the Phillies, and that's Harrison Jones.
Oh, really? Is he that way inclined?
That's what I've been told. Fiona on our podcast may have mentioned it once or twice. What do we think?
What, was she a victim of his cultish ways?
No, but just apparently, not just him. There's a couple of players on the list, young guys, good-looking guys. One who we might have spoken about earlier, very in glowing terms, that are doing what young guys do. And let's be honest.
Shock horror.
Yeah, exactly. But what do we think? Harrison Jones.
Country. Could I reckon he'll max out at City. He's never going to be a group horse. But... Not enough to send him to the knackery just yet.
When he first started,
yeah, loved him.
I thought group. He's definitely got the makings of a group horse. But I think I agree with Sweep there. At the moment, country, who hopefully has to push towards being city class.
Yeah, I reckon if he can get his body right, key position players blossom late. I think he's got oodles of talent, a bit like Nick Cox. Depends on what his body allows him to do, probably. Nick Bryan.
Oh, yeah, I'm one of those ones that call out on forums and Facebook pages for this guy to get a game over Andrew Phillips, to be honest. Gets mountains of the ball in the VFL, heaps of hit outs. Why wouldn't you just give him a run at it? You know, he had one game this year and then was dropped back to the twos. I think he needs to be given three or four games in a row before he can pass judgment. But he's a country horse at the moment.
How come you get on those forums, but I had to beg you to come on this fucking podcast?
They pay more.
Okay. All right. DJ?
Yeah. Country, I think. There's a reason he's not getting a game right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Be obvious to us. So there's obviously something awry there or amiss.
He's 21, man. 21. Give him time. Jakey Stringer.
City.
I think he's group.
Yeah, I think he's listed / group. Almost a little bit like Shield in a way that he'll play a game that he's just off the Richter and wins the game off his own boot, but then will either get injured and miss three or four or do nothing for the next three or four and then come back and play that hurler again.
Mm.
So, yeah I'm going to say sort of sitting on the cusp of, listed group three.
I think he's, when the narrative on this podcast of late, clearly you guys don't listen, is he's been doing a lot of, and apparently Scott has spoken about this as well, he's doing more of the team thing of late, and he's contributing a little bit more around stuff other than mercurial goals and freakish. How's that torp he kicked on the run, by the way?
Yeah, I love that. That was awesome.
Like he can do things that other players can't do. But, all right, well, let's fly through the main ones. Redmond.
Group one. It's been group this year. Yeah, group one this year.
I can love him. I love him. Yep. Zerk.
Country still trending towards City.
I reckon just City at the moment.
I reckon he was City early days and he's had a really tough month. Alan Davey too young, agreed.
Yeah. Well, he looks okay.
Yeah, I think he's a player. There's a player there. Andrew Phillips.
Oh, I'm going to say Knackery. Sorry, I know that's going to upset people, but he's slow. Fuck, he's slow. And can't really dispose of it.
Yeah, he's got his calm demeanor. I think we'll make him a police horse. And get mounted by cops.
He's another one that he just needs to be on the VB ad, the Clydesdale.
Yeah. Just trample protesters
in the city. I'm struggling to hear you too, by the way, DJ. He's knackery. I actually don't understand why he's getting a game above Brian. No. Like, at least there's no output we'd be missing other than a big body, I guess, who can compete. And, mate, you know, his hit outs have been okay, but surely it's worth persevering with Brian. But anyway, we'll agree, Knackery. Guelphy?
Country? Oh, probably City. What do you do? His pressure's really good.
Yeah, I'm going to say City as well. When he's good, he's City.
Yeah, he's a role player. You need your role players.
I'm going to say Country. I just reckon he's 25 and he's been on the cusp. He's been injured. He hasn't established a place in the team yet.
One that we may have skipped over that I would be keen to send to the Knackery and have been for years is Will Snelling.
Well, hang on. Are we there yet or have I missed him?
He's number 11.
Him. Oh, fuck. I did miss him. Yeah, I said, like, I don't get the value proposition.
He's not going to win a championship.
He's like, I know he tries. I know he's probably a great club man, I should say. But yeah, I don't get it.
I think we take him to the Melbourne Show that the kids riding. It's one of those little ponies.
His Shetland pony.
Yeah, little Shetland. Yeah.
All right, next, Nick Martin. A couple
group
more.
Group one. Absolute group one.
Group one. Every day of the week.
Where's his best position, do you think?
Oh, he seemed to play more in the middle against Carlton, and fuck, he was handy. There's not much of him, but he's taller than you think. He's like 192 or something.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, 190. There you go.
He is silk. Like, he very rarely makes a mistake with ball in hand. He's a bit Scott Pendlebury-like, you know, the way the game seems to slow down when he's got the footy. Absolute silk.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, love him. He's my favourite player at the moment.
Yeah, agree. All right, couple more quick ones. One I missed, Jake Kelly.
Country.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Waller.
Pains me, but he's probably in the knackery.
Yeah, it's sad. The guy could have been anything.
Well, I think he had a great career. It's not like he didn't have a good career. But I still hold out hope that he'll get his body right and he could be in some country cups, maybe. Let's see. And then the last one, Joy Menzies.
Country,
but has the ability to become regular citizen.
Yeah, he's been good.
Yeah. We've seen snippets of it.
All right, well, that's the list review. Let's just go straight to douche. We're going to do douche of the decade, deity of the decade, and herd of the decade, Henneman of the decade, and then we can fuck off and come back again in 10 years' time.
Perfect.
And then maybe then we'll close on the favourite windsock moment. I've got one in the whole podcast. That's my favourite. But okay. Sweet, sure. Do you want to do the herd and Henneman?
Yeah, I'll do the herd and Henneman, but surely the douche is an easy one, the patient zero, the COVID patient zero dude. Like, seriously, has to
he
be.
He definitely features.
Sorry, DJ. I'll do herd and Henneman, you do douche and deity. Looks like old times.
You go.
No, douche and, are we doing douche and deity first?
I'll do douche first. Okay, nice. Yeah. I've got 1, 2, 3, I've got 6 nominations.
Six?
So that'll be quick, and they don't need much explanation. The first guy is the Lithuanian urologist, who we just spoke of, the guy with patient zero, basically set the world into a tailspin. Donald Trump is up there. He's had a fairly douche past few years. NRA, the National Rifle Association in the US, they've been fairly douchey for quite a while. The way they continue to promote their agenda is quite douchey.
Well, we just need to arm the teachers with guns and it'll all be good.
Yeah, for sure. Then the next three are a little bit closer to home. I don't think we can have this podcast without mentioning the word Caro. She continues to put out douchey content, say douchey things and do douchey things, so she's up there. The next one is Dan Andrews. Douchey performance during COVID. Some people love him, some people hate him. I think it was a douche. Then the last one is Xavier Campbell, who was the head of the fish that rotted for a long time, and when it was finally excised, removed. Things have started to turn around. So I think it's between Zayden and Campbell and Caro for me.
Can I just say before you give the award, a couple of guys very lucky to get away with it. Demetrio, he would have featured in my top six.
Dank.
Dank is another. God, can you remember 10 years ago when we were raging about all this shit, etc. Gil as well. I think he's been a nothing. But anyway, your award, DJ.
My award. This guy, I think, had the opportunity to pull us out of the mire much sooner than we emerged, but for whatever reason, kept on making incorrect calls and incorrect decisions that led us to a situation. We've been down in the doldrums for a long time, and we're just starting to mention that. So, douche of the decade for me, to purposeful innovation, drive purposeful innovation. Essendon's lead esports team, Xavier Campbell.
Yeah,
I thought you were going with Dan Andrews then.
But in keeping with this podcast and our ethos, the quality of your mic seems to be dying. But it's all right, mate. We as I said, it's in keeping with the podcast. But esports, like, he's the douche of the decade. The esports is just the high watermark. Like, it still makes me laugh seeing those guys trotted out in Essendon apparel. We've seen some unfit players play for our club, and I shouldn't diss their fitness. They were video gamers, basically. But if that's ever a definition of non-core, focusing on non-core activity, that's got to be it.
100%. 100%. Right, so that's the douche. The day, I'm going to go slightly left of centre. Yeah, I was thinking, Australia, the most recent war hero, Ben Robert Smith, until what emerged a couple of weeks ago about him being listed in a number of war crimes. So not him.
War crimes kind of rules you out.
Yeah, it does. We don't want people to be back in the day. But we were just talking about horses and whether best players should go to the Macquarie. And I'm landing on two horses for them to be my nominations for the day. Yeah, of the decade. Sorry, it's Black Caviar and Winx.
Yeah, Winx.
Both took all before them. And in the end, I've gone for Winx because there's just a little bit more versatile than Black Caviar. Black Caviar had Winx between the 1,000 metres and 1,400, whereas Winx did it all from, 1,100 metres to 2,200, I believe.
Well, Black Caviar did win at Royal Ascot, despite Nolan's best efforts to not win.
That's true. With a serious injury as well, apparently. But no, the decade for me being a racing fan. Winx.
Yeah, I love Winx. I saw Winx's last cosplayed effort when she rounded that corner on that straight, and just the whole crowd was there to see Winx bring it home, and she just started rounding them up. That was probably my favourite live sporting moment I've seen.
There you go.
You know what we should do? We should do like a spring carnival podcast. What do you reckon?
Yeah, why not? Never said that before.
Do you remember what our podcast was going to be called?
The Cunning Punts.
The Cunning Punts. I still reckon it's got legs. This is maybe next decade. I like it, mate. Very good. Hurd and Henneman.
I'm not putting forward any nominations. This will be really straightforward. We'll start with the Hurd. The Hurd of the decade and the winner, the way he led our club through what was a really shitty time in our history, but I'm going to give the Hurd of the decade to Joe Watson. I just thought the way he handled himself in particular through that period was second to none. Had his Brownlow, he gave his Brownlow back to two blokes that are fairly average human beings, I would have thought. Yeah, Job has to be the Hurd of the decade, doesn't he? Like, surely.
I like it, mate. I like it. And I think he was bullied. He was bullied into that and he didn't need to. And those blokes are shit for accepting it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, a couple of honourable mentions. Zach Merritt's been really good. Dyson Apple's been fantastic. But there's a clear standout and just the way his leadership was unbelievable through that period in particular. Job for mine for the last decade for sure.
Well done. Good call, Sleep.
Love it. Now, a long list, potentially.
There's only been, as I recall, one bloke that's driven me to actually write and sing my own song.
No way.
I've got to give it to Melky. I think there's a period there he might have won at 6 or 7 in a row very early on in our cast's history. But the Henneman of the decade was Jake Melksham.
Yeah.
I do have some honourable mentions. James Gwilt featured. in he was up there with
James Gwilt. I forgot he even played.
Snelling, I've never really been a fan of him, but he's hardly at Melky level. Let's call a spade a spade. Yeah, look, actually, you could throw a blanket over about 30 blokes that could easily have won the Henneman, but I've landed on Melky just because he's the only one that's ever brought me to the point where I felt the urge to write a song and then perform that song for this podcast. So
he's the only one that's ever driven you crazy.
Correct.
Hey, what I was going to say, though, like on the Henneman, I was thinking about, I came up with three that I want to just run past you and get your views on.
Yep.
So the first one is Aaron Francis, who promised so much for so long and just delivered nothing in the end.
That hasn't helped Dodoro's case, Aaron Francis, either. Jesus.
The next one, Adam Saad, who left, I think it was Gold Coast, to come down and play in a successful team and then jump ship at the earliest possible opportunity and he's jumped out and flying down into the fire. And then the last one is someone who, if you're not calling him the enemy, which you're not because he gave it to Melch, and deserves another special title. This guy's Joe Danaher. There's a special place in hell reserved for people like him.
Yeah, I must admit, Joe did cross my mind. I hadn't gone down the Saar path, but Joe brought, as an Essendon supporter, he brought many great memories, right? Like, it's times where he just turned the game on and he could have been Wayne Carey. But fuck, equally, he was the most disappointing footballer I'd ever seen in red and black at the same time. Like, it was just polar opposites. You didn't know what you were going to get. But he never, ever got me to the point where I needed to write a song about it.
Yeah, and we must say that song, now I haven't been able to find it. I looked. One of my hard drives is, I had a hard drive and a backup hard drive. They're both broken, by the way, which I'm devastated about.
It's a shame. It's a real shame. It was a masterpiece.
Melky Drives Me Crazy was just, I think for that reason, that song gives him the Henneman by default because he caused that song, which caused a lot of people to lose their hearing.
If you want to find it, that they play it on repeat in the torture room at Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I reckon you're right. All right. Now, before we piss off, your favourite Winsock moment. Now, there's a few. We featured in a couple of newspapers. Have you guys got any nominations before I give you my favourite moment? Or have you forgotten them all? Purposefully wiped your memory.
Yeah, it's more the latter than the former, to be fair. I'm happy to be led by you on this one, Solution.
All right. Well, in 2016, a new podcast came out, and that was The Sounding Board. Do you remember this?
Yeah, this is good.
And The Sounding Board was Damien Barrett. DJ shaking his head. You have dementia, my friend. The Sounding Board was Damien Barrett and Craig Hutchinson, like two really jovial, friendly, you can just imagine. Now, this was kind of off the back of us hating the media and everything we've gone through. When did we get banned from finals, by the way? That was 2014?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, whatever. We tasked our listeners with going out and rating the Sounding Board. They went from like 5 stars because, like, I'm looking at it now. The first rating they ever got was great show, fantastic, great show, fantastic behind the scenes look at the media. There was another one, great to learn about what goes on away from the media spotlight. So clearly just horseshit from Hutchie's employees, I should say. Anyway, we started the White Anthem. And they quickly went down to an average of 2. So we just put it out there and said, go in, rate them. Now, a couple of, I can just read the heading, actually. Purdy 5, sort of giving the game away there, should be renamed Verbal Diarrhea. That's one. If it is witty, insightful, or entertain the AFL podcast you seek, try two guys, one cup, or the junk time AFL pod. Hutchie and Purple, don't give up your day job, fellas. I just started losing my will to live after 10 minutes. And you get the idea. There was a bunch of them. But what made me really happy was they kind of had this big launch and they were hoping it went really well. And I know they would have been asking themselves, what are we doing wrong? Why are we getting these bad reviews? So if nothing else, I think that was a great contribution.
Actually, one that has just sprung to mind and is definitely worthy of a mention is the Winsock hoodies that we produced there for a little period of time. We ended up, I think one of our listeners found Kevin Sheedy in a pub, and we may or may not have got a snap of Sheeds with the hoodie. That was a good moment.
Yeah, yeah. You still see him occasionally.
I still wear mine.
Do you?
Yeah.
Fucking good quality, man. Good quality. But anyway, it's been a good 10 years. I tried to kill the podcast, by the way, a couple of times. You might have noticed. And I still brought it back.
It's fucking hard to find now. It took me, I was blind drunk after Anzac Day and I was trying to find the thing on iTunes. Couldn't find it.
Well, mate.
Somehow we stumbled on YouTube.
Yeah, we were only on YouTube until about in a moment of weakness, I decided to put it on the podcast apps.
Who's on it now instead of us? Solution.
Well, I haven't heard from Rusty. Rusty's like gone AWOL. So I don't know if you blokes have heard from him.
No, he left when we did. Look, he's running one of my sexy scissors outlets. So I prefer to just leave him doing that because he's doing a bloody good job.
Okay.
His carer contacted me the other day and asked for some money.
Yes. Yeah. There's the architect. There's the apprentice. No, the apprentice is in Holland, I should say. So I did have lunch with the apprentice a while ago. We're going to get him back on. There's the Winsock 2000 became sentient. So he's now a podcast member. There's Fiona, there's Jez, there's Christina, there's the correspondent still around. So we still kick along. But you guys have an open invitation.
How do you find these people? You're like a cult leader.
Yeah.
What do you promise them?
Build it and they shall come. I've just built the podcast and people have, you know, come. Unlike you guys who pissed off.
You kicked us out, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I did a song of the week, my first one for 5 years. Did you have a listen?
Yep. Yeah. My thoughts haven't changed much in 10 years, it's fair to say. I won't give too much more away than that. I think that's for our listeners, you know, to provide feedback on. But guitar work was great. That's probably all I'll say on that, DJ.
I haven't heard it, to be honest. What song is it? Who's it by?
Well, I did Sunny Afternoon by the Kinks to Sunday Afternoon. It was basically a lament crying about the fact that we're always at 4:40 on a Sunday.
Isn't that a shit time slot? Just to digress real quick, like that is a terrible time to play footy. That's where Carlton belong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Terrible.
Is it a terrible time to play footy or watch footy?
Watch footy.
What else are you doing at 4:40 on a Sunday?
It's more the fact you got to wait all weekend for your team.
Yeah.
All right, well, this was
it's been fun.
This was a typical, like, we had all the elements, bad audio, you guys shitting on me, so that hasn't changed. Yeah, but it has been fun. I've missed you guys.
Yeah. I've actually missed the phallic microphone, if I'm honest, the most. The phallus.
Yeah, the phallus is retired, mate.
It's a shame. The quality was superb.
When we used to bring it out in the pub, the problem is it picked up our voices really well, but also picked up the urinal, it picked up everything else really well. That was the other problem.
Piercings clanging off the bar, remember?
too. What pub was that, DJ?
I don't know. Something Regal.
All right, well,
the Meghan Markle.
The Meghan Markle, yeah. All right.
Good to see you, boys.
Well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened. Guys, thanks for coming along. Potentia Elite Management is no longer a sponsor. I think that's no longer a thing, is it, please?
No, the Sexy Scissors might be interested in a sponsorship, potentially. We'll talk offline.
Okay, we'll talk offline. But check out Something About Cake, our actual sponsor, as well. Maybe Sexy Scissors can come in as a platinum.
Free haircuts for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, thanks, DJ. Good to see you, mate.
Likewise, guys. It's been a pleasure. It's been fun.
Thanks, Sweep. And we'll see you in about 10 years.
Yeah, sounds good. See you next decade.
All right, boys.
Cat Bombers.
See you, boys.
We used to play on Friday night. Hurd and Lloyd, oh, what a sight. Now all our games are on Sunday afternoon. So I just hang around, watching the rest of the round, waiting until Sunday afternoon. Save me, from this, please. We got the AFL fixture trying to break me. So I wait around, oh, patiently, in this football purgatory, waiting for 4:40 on Sunday afternoon. In the winter time, it's too early to go to a bar. It's too late for my ma and pa. Such a shit time to go to the footy. So now I'm sitting here, handshaking cold plastic beer at 4:40 on Sunday afternoon. Save me, from this, please. We got the AFL fixture trying to break me. So I wait around so patiently.